On Monday, we got a better idea of what Saquon Barkley's future might look like with or without the New York Giants. And it led Chicago Bears fans to debate. Do they want to spend $16 million on him at the running back position? Is he worth the investment? Can he add that much more to the Chicago Bears offense? Or would they be better off spending that money at bigger needs elsewhere?
You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook and an official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon today to get started. On the show today, we dive into Saquon Barkley as a Chicago Bears potential free agent target. We'll get caught up on what's coming out of the New York Giants camp and from Barkley's camp and where that situation lies after we got more of an update from really both sides of that equation on Monday. And we'll look at then how that might fit with the Chicago Bears, what makes Saquon Barkley an intriguing and exciting potential free agent target, and also the reasons why some Bears fans don't want to sign Saquon Barkley and would rather see the Bears use their free agent dollars somewhere else. What brought this to the forefront for a lot of Chicago Bears fans was a season-ending press conference, I think, for the Giants after being eliminated from the playoffs, and they start to have the conversations around that team of what they want to do with their own players, specifically the quarterback position, Daniel Jones, and then the running back position, Saquon Barkley. Pretty monumental decisions for that franchise to make. And of course, just like we saw with the Bears and Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, the Giants aren't going to come out and say exactly what they're going to do and how much they're willing to spend and how they're going to handle the exact details of those negotiations. But some additional reporting came out with some of the quotes we got from the Giants press conferences that are shaping the Saquon Barkley market a little bit more and giving the Chicago Bears and every other team a better sense of how things might play out in that direction. It was clear that the Giants do want to bring back Saquon Barkley. Their general manager, Joe Shane, made it clear, right? Like they're definitely interested in bringing them back. They're not like raving about him the whole press conference saying, oh, we're definitely going to do whatever it takes in order to spend whatever we can to make sure these players can't leave. But there's a really clear interest there, right? They're not just going to let them go and not attempt to re-sign them. But they also kind of acknowledged that the two sides were not particularly close on what the contract value might be for somebody like Saquon Barkley. Shane said they weren't close in value when they entered negotiations, leading up to this season and during this season. He didn't specifically say where they were and where the Barkley was and how far apart, the specific numbers. But there was some reporting from Fox Sports, Ralph Valciano, I think used to work for one of the TV stations or radio stations out there as well. He's been around the block a few times. This is not just some guy who's posting reports online that are not credible. I mean, I certainly can't verify his reporting, but he's a name that isn't just some guy posting reports. He said that Barkley was offered around $12 million a year during the bye week from the New York Giants. That's Ralph Vacciano's report there, and that he hears that Barkley wants near Christian McCaffrey's $16 million average per year contract value. Barkley kind of came out and said, like, I'm not trying to reset the running back market. He's trying to say, I'm not trying to be unreasonable here. I'm not trying to set a new NFL record for biggest contract ever handed out to a running back. But he does want to be paid like one of the top running backs in the NFL because he's produced like one of the top running backs in the NFL. And so if the Giants were offering around 12 and Barkley's reportedly around 16, that's the report on both sides there. $4 million a year is quite a gap that would need to be breached or broached. I think you broach a gap. Do you breach a gap? Do you broach a gap? You breach like the side of a wall. Anyway, not important. The important thing is that there's some distance there that would require some negotiation. And it's like, well, while they're working on that, they're also working on what they want to do at the quarterback position with Daniel Jones. Because it's a similar thing where they're not going to just hand Daniel Jones a blank check. But he played well enough this season that they're interested in re-signing him and continuing with him as their quarterback. And the bigger thing here, they only have one franchise tag. You can only franchise tag one of those two players. Certainly, if you can reach a long-term agreement with one, then you have the franchise tag freed up to get the other one and keep them from hitting free agency. But it's interesting because the running back franchise tag next year is like $10 million, just a hair over $10 million for that 1 year, which is even less than the Giants were offering Saquon Barkley. So it would seem like a no-brainer for the Giants to franchise tag Saquon Barkley if the franchise tag is available to them. But the quarterback position is more important than the running back position, even though Saquon Barkley is a lot better at what he does than Daniel Jones is at what he does. But it depends on how comfortable they would be with either letting Daniel Jones test the free agent market if you can't come up with a deal or let him walk entirely, or how willing they would just be to pay him the contract that would satisfy both sides and then to free up the franchise tag for Barkley, or do they need to hold on to the franchise tag for Daniel Jones? And then all of a sudden you risk Barkley being able to go get a bigger offer from other teams that the Giants wouldn't be able to keep up with. So there is a very real question here of whether the Bears will have the chance to sign him. And I think the franchise tag is mainly the obstacle there, which is mainly dependent on what happens with Daniel Jones. And who knows, maybe the Giants will value Barkley and just up an offer and get a long-term deal without needing the franchise tag, but at least we kind of have a sense of how far apart they might be, and also then what Barkley's demands or interests might be, what his market might look like if he does hit free agency and the Bears do have an opportunity to negotiate with him. $16 million is a lot for a running back, or it's a lot for any position, but especially at that running back position. And that's why it's such a debate among Chicago Bears fans, whether that $16 million is worth it for Saquon Barkley or any running back for that matter. We're going to make the case here. We're going to say, here's why the Chicago Bears should sign Saquon Barkley. And we'll go through all the reasons why it would make a lot of sense for this team to add a player like that to the backfield with Justin Fields. And then we're going to go through why the Chicago Bears shouldn't sign Saquon Barkley and why maybe it doesn't make the perfect sense to give that contract to Saquon Barkley based on everything else surrounding the Chicago Bears right now. That's as we continue the Locked On Bears podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We're very excited about our new sponsor here on Locked On Bears, our new sports betting partner, FanDuel, because they're the number one sports book in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better because they have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Of course, you can make these NFL playoff games that much more exciting. You can bet on who's going to be drafted with the number one overall pick as well. And for new customers, if you join today, you can get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed. All you have to do is place a $5 bet of your own, and they'll load you up with $150 in free bets. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. All on their app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. It's really easy to fall in love with the idea of signing Saquon Barkley to this Chicago Bears roster. The flashy, splash, offensive weapon free agent signing to give this offense and to give Justin Fields a dynamic playmaker to pair with him in this offense. Saquon Barkley would come to the Bears and instantly be their, as far as non-quarterbacks go, their best weapon on offense. Fields, a little bit different of a conversation there, but I think he becomes that much more of a dynamic playmaker than Mooney, than Claypool, than Kmet, than anybody currently under contract for the Chicago Bears. And of course, as we know, the Bears have the salary cap space to be able to pull something off. Not a lot of teams have the room and the luxury to say, you know what, we could give that running back $16 million a year and still have, what, over $100 million in cap space left to sign other players that might be more needs, right? Because, you know, David Montgomery will be a free agent. The Bears will have an opening at running back, but they don't need Saquon Barkley, right? This is not like the biggest pressing hole. If you had to look at, okay, what are going to be the most important things for the Bears to add to improve this year? I mean, we don't need to do a comprehensive list, but, you know, obviously like offensive line, pass rush, receivers, et cetera. Like running back is not going to be at the top of that list. But the Bears are one of the few teams, I think, that are in that position to do so. And you can make the argument that Barkley is just a playmaker, and the Bears need playmakers regardless of position. It doesn't have to be a wide receiver. Get a player who, when the ball is in their hands, can be a difference maker. Because it's pretty rare that you have the opportunity to add a player that is a proven, consistent, dynamic playmaker. No questions asked. Barkley steps on the field and makes a difference. Is a threat to score every time he touches the ball and is a highlight reel waiting to happen. He did that in New York this season, despite them also not having wide receivers. Maybe not quite to the extent the Bears didn't have wide receivers, but it's debatable, right? I mean, it's a similar situation, though. Barkley was their whole offense, and teams still struggled to stop him. He's back. He's healthy. He looks just as great as he did coming out of the draft in his early, you know, his rookie season and early couple of seasons in the NFL. And he's still, as of today, only 25 years old, about to turn 26, like in a week or two, but 26 years old. So there's a lot of career still left in Saquon Barkley. This is not the 30-year-old running back who's teetering over the hill and about to start declining. You know, there's some youth here and some potential here, right? Not that he's going to get better, but some long-term opportunity here for him to still be a big-time player for your team for the immediate and perhaps long-term future. It just feels like Barkley can pretty much do everything David Montgomery can do, plus so much more, right? He's a much more dynamic player in the passing game. He's faster, but while still being just as strong and being able to bounce off of tacklers. I mean, it really is something that the Bears just haven't had. I mean, they just haven't had players that can do the types of things that guys like Saquon Barkley can do, because they just need players that can be these kinds of difference makers. You're not going to see on this free agent market, right? There is not a number one wide receiver. The wide receivers themselves are even borderline number two wide receivers. Like your top receivers in free agency this year, wide receivers, Juju Smith-Schuster and Jacoby Myers. It's kind of the type of class we're looking at, barring some other player getting released into free agency, but expiring contracts, and those guys could still be re-signed. So, you know, it's not like you're kind of debate like, okay, do you sign Barkley for 16 or a number one wide receiver for 16? Because there just isn't that level of wide receiver on the market. But Barkley can be a player who gives you more in the passing game out of the backfield than what you've been getting from David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert up to this point. He might not be a full-on Christian McCaffrey-level backfield receiving weapon, but he certainly does a lot of damage after the catch and can do a lot of different things in your offense, in addition to just being a great running back, an actually great runner. And you add him to this offense with Justin Fields, and teams are going to have a lot of trouble trying to stop that combination of ball carriers in the backfield, the Fields and Matt Barkley. Oh, and you still have Khalil Herbert as well to give you by far the best running attack in the NFL on the team that already was the number one rushing team in the NFL this season. The big key to making the Saquon Barkley signing work is about structuring the contract properly and the guaranteed money, because $16 million a year average is one thing and is a big number. But that's not the one that scares you. It's the guaranteed money. The guaranteed money is what controls how much flexibility you have in the contract. I don't get, especially with the amount of cap space the Bears have this offseason, We shouldn't get too caught up in what that per year average number is. $16 million a year for Saquon Barkley, or, you know, they're throwing out $20 million a year for some of these offensive linemen and some of these, you know, pass rusher type players, right? Big time numbers. That average is what's easy for us to kind of hold on to. But what will matter the most, especially with somebody like Saquon Barkley, is going to be that guaranteed money. How many years of the contract do you owe him up front that you're going to have to pay him and you can't get out of that contract because the dead cap money would just be too much because of how much you guaranteed up front? I'm fine with the idea of giving Saquon Barkley $16 million a year. If, you know, is that 20 guaranteed, 25 guaranteed? Is it 30 guaranteed? That's when you start to get into these numbers of like, okay, how long am I locked in to that $16 million a year number? Because if you give him a five-year deal at $16 million a year, that's a lot of money. But if it's only guaranteed for the first year or the first 2 years, and then after that, you can cut him and save all that cap space and move on and have that flexibility from there, it makes it a lot easier to really be able to handle paying a running back of this stature. Because the modern analytics, the Moneyball idea will tell you, don't pay running backs, right? Running backs are easy to find other good running backs, and they're replaceable, and that you shouldn't invest a lot of money in that position. But there's always been a caveat on that of like, don't pay running backs unless they're truly special and irreplaceable at the position. Because guys like Barkley, guys like Derrick Henry, guys like Christian McCaffrey, you can't just find those in the third round of the draft. You can find very good running backs, David Montgomery's, Kareem Hunt's, etc., in the third round of the draft. You're not finding Barkley's, Henry's, and McCaffrey's in that stage. These are the guys who are above the replaceable running backs. These are the guys that are the exceptions, but you can still build in some of the financial protection and the risk protection by limiting the guaranteed money. And that's what would be most important for making a deal and making Saquon Barkley a palatable running back signing for the Chicago Bears to invest in a particularly luxurious free agent signing on a team that also has a lot of needs to fill. And that's why you can feel that argument of like, well, As much as they do have 100 and plus million cap space, it does 16 does take a pretty good chunk out of that. Not keeping you from signing anybody else, but is that $16 million you could put to more valuable positions, put to bigger needs that will have a more direct impact on Justin Fields and his development and the success and growth of this offense, and also rebuilding this Bears defense and getting them to be able to help Justin Fields out a little bit more. So we'll flip the script here. And we'll look at why maybe signing Saquon Barkley would be cool and fun and exciting, but maybe not what's best or most prudent for this Bears team next on Locked On Bears. The idea of signing Saquon Barkley to a $16 million a year contract, it does immediately strike this feeling in me that like that just doesn't feel like just the idea of it doesn't feel like the smartest thing to do. Because when you think about it, when was the last time that a team signing a running back to a big free agent contract, when was the last time that worked really well? When a running back left one team, went to another team in free agency, signed a big deal, they paid him a lot of money. It's really been eliminated from the NFL offseason experience. I mean, teams have just stopped paying running backs big money in free agency. We don't see massive markets build up for these players. They're still decent-sized contracts, but really what you see right now is that the only running backs that are getting paid top dollar are these truly great running backs. We mentioned, you know, McCaffrey and Henry and Barkley being in that conversation, but those great running backs don't hit free agency, right? And they only get paid when they're great, and when they're great, they don't hit free agency, so other teams don't get the chance to sign them. They're either traded in the case of McCaffrey or, you know, re-signed by their team because they're so valuable that their own teams are not going to let them go, not going to let them walk in free agency for nothing more than a compensatory pick in return. And so if the New York Giants don't, you know, agree to a long-term contract extension with Saquon Barkley or use the franchise tag on Saquon Barkley, that feels like a red flag. Sure, there's a chance that the Giants are just blowing it and not reading the situation correctly and letting a really good player leave foolishly. That is a possibility in there. But I think if a team like the Giants that was in the playoffs this year and pushing and building around a quarterback that hasn't been great at all times, if they're willing to let Barkley go, we should ask why. Again, feel like we did this on yesterday's podcast, but like I feel like Brian Windhorst like leaning back with the fingers pointing up, like, why is that? The Giants let Saquon Barkley go. Why would that be? To me, the innate curiosity there is like asking questions that we should at least be asking. Why might they do that? And maybe to me, it's a sign that we should look around for red flags and pay attention to them if they're there. If the Giants, who would have the most information about whether or not it's worth it to sign Saquon Barkley or not, would choose not to. And whether we can be feel satisfied with the answers we come up with as to why they don't sign him. Are they just that salary cap crunched? Can they just do, there's no way they could possibly make up the space to be able to sign Barkley? Or do they look at Barkley and say, you know, he's just not worth that much to us? And if that's the case, why is it? Because what jumps out at me right away and what scares me about Saquon Barkley, there's no denying. Great player, would be great for the Bears offense, would be an upgrade, would be dynamic, and it's rare opportunities you get to add those kind of players to them. Like, I don't disagree, like, and I don't want this to sound facetious. Like, everything I said in the previous segment about why it would make a lot of sense to sign him, like, I believe those things. This is not like, I'm not doing the Skip Bayless, I'm just saying whatever to say for the sake of saying it and don't really believe the words that are coming out of my mouth. Like, I do believe all those things to be true. But also, he tore his ACL in 2020. Remember, missed pretty much all of that season, came back in 2021 and just wasn't very good. Maybe some lingering ACL stuff there. And I know he had a bad ankle sprain during that season. So he wasn't super, super healthy. And then, of course, 2022 looks great. Looks like the old Saquon Barkley again, a new man rebuilt and ready to roll. But there was a moment there in 2021 where we wondered if Barkley would ever be the same, whether his career was kind of done and trailing off and whether, you know, the ACL was just going to be too much of a hindrance and that he wouldn't get back to full speed Saquon Barkley. Now that we've seen it again, there's a lot of reason to have faith in that. But I can't help but wonder if it will last or if there's a greater risk of more injury or whether it will speed up the timeline to when his career will start to fall off because he's been through such a catastrophic knee injury. You also have this idea. Then there's a growing sort of research into how long running back careers last. And there's been debate on exactly where the number is, but there's this idea that a running back, after they hit a certain number of carries, a certain number of touches, catches and carries, they've taken so many tackles and so much contact that they start to break down more and more after a certain threshold. You get to a certain part of your career and you've just been hit so many times and carried the ball so many times that your body just can't keep holding up consistently, and you see running backs start to drop off from that point. Struggle to stay healthy, struggle to stay full speed and just full contact, full everything that you need for that player to be their best. I'm not here to argue where exactly that number is. Some people say it's 1,500 touches. Some people say it's 2,000 touches. And for every running back, it's different, right? It's not, and there's not always just a uniform point. But we should keep in mind that Saquon Barkley in his NFL career is now up to 1,000 carries, just under, and just under 250 catches, 1,250 total touches, essentially right around there up to this point. And there is eventually a limit there. He's still young. He's still 26. He's still on the lower end of that spectrum. But you do start to wonder, just in terms of running back longevity, there's a reason why running backs don't tend to have long careers, at least not the lead horse running backs. You can have a long career as the scat back, as the rotational guy in there who's not carrying the ball 25 times a game or 200 or 250 times, 250 times a season, you know, to get up to 1,000, or I guess, well, he had the injuries in there too, but you know what I mean? Like, you can only shoulder so much of that load before things start to break down. And are you going to invest a 4 or 5 year contract and $16 million a year and maybe a significant chunk of guaranteed money in a guy that not only has 1,250-ish touches at this point in his career, but also has the torn ACL and ankle stuff in his medical history already? Those feel like red flags. How big the red flag is, we can debate, right? That's what every general manager will be looking at. There's no doubt that a running back having a torn ACL is a red flag. Like, David Montgomery does not have the torn ACL in there. It's less of a red flag in terms of injury history when it's the big one. The ACL is the big one. It's just a matter of what that risk is. and what your risk tolerance is. And is it easier to tolerate that risk when it's not $16 million a year, right? Is it when it's $10 million a year versus $16 million a year, or depending on what David Montgomery is going at, right? And is the difference in talent or other running back options out there? You know, there's guys like Tony Pollard, who just broke his leg in the playoff game. Not a great example, but Josh Jacobs from the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, you know, there's other options at the running back position that maybe don't have the same pedigree, not as dynamic as Saquon Barkley, but maybe a fewer carries under their belt and not the torn ACL injury under their belt. I mean, you take college into consideration for this, and I didn't go back and look at, I know Barkley at Penn State was the lead guy, but not like 4 years the lead guy, and I know those Alabama running backs take some toll. That's not the point of the podcast episode that we're doing today, but there is some real concern there, and that if the Giants let Barkley walk, are they more concerned about the injury? You know, do they have other, is that part of the reason why they might let him walk? Is to say, yeah, he has had a lot of touches and he's had the torn ACL, and we're not sure whether we really want to commit to that for top dollar long term. There's a lot of risk there when you're talking about that much money and that much time. And if the Giants aren't willing to do that, makes me perk up a little bit and say, okay, well, should I be willing to do that if the team that knows him best and drafted him isn't willing to do that? And that's why I do think at the end of the day, with all these free agents, but especially with Saquon Barkley, it's really going to come down to that contract. And if there's a way where I can give him the guaranteed money, so after the first year, I can get out of the contract and not be, you know, swimming in dead salary cap space. If for some reason he busts as a free agent, I want to be able to get out of the contract. I want to, where if he's healthy and playing well, he's going to get the full $16 million every year. Good for him. He's earning it. If he gets hurt again, if he falls off the map for some reason, if the wear and tear starts to bring him down and he's not playing well, I want the safety and protection in the contract to be able to cut him and not owe him tens of millions of dollars in dead guaranteed money that I already paid him for performance that I'm not going to be able to get. Feels to me like a guy like Barkley, you know, when you start getting in negotiations and leverage, if you get multiple teams, that's when the guaranteed money can be part of that. And maybe another team is willing to guarantee more and give him more of that financial security, more than I might be willing to give him. It depends, right? If I can get out after 1 year, I'm good. If I can get out after 2 years, I'm okay. If the first 3 years are all mostly guaranteed, that for me, that becomes a little bit more risk that I think I'm willing to, because by then he's 29 at running back and with a lot more touches under his belt. Like, I don't want to get, because the last thing you want to do is sign Saquon Barkley to this big deal, have things not work out, and you're locked into this expensive contract for a player that's not very good, or that's not playing very well, or that isn't available to you because of the injuries all the time, right? That's the fear of what you're trying to avoid, and I think it's particularly important in these negotiations because it's such a luxury at the running back position, right? If we were talking an offensive tackle or a defensive lineman, a pass rusher, you know, some, or a wide receiver, the Bears just really need, I'm a little more willing to say, all right, take the risk because you need that player and it's so worth it if you can get him. Barkley is, at the end of the day, a little bit more extra. He's a luxury. And I would rather go with a more sure thing at some of these other positions and say, yeah, I can live without giving Barkley the $16 million. My team can still be very, very good without that. My team can't be very, very good without another good offensive lineman, multiple good defensive linemen, and more pass catching and receivers, tight ends, etc., added to this team this year. And so that's where I find myself, like, I'm okay with the Barkley luxury under the right circumstances. And will the market allow for those circumstances? We'll see. I certainly think the Bears are going to do their due diligence and kick the tires on the possibility of somebody like Saquon Barkley. We'd love to hear what you think about whether or not the Bears should or should not try and pursue him in free agency. Let us know in the comments on the Locked On Bears YouTube video, or you can tweet us at Locked On Bears, or post in the Locked On Bears Facebook group for more of that Bears talk. Just make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to the podcast or watching on YouTube, because that's going to be the best way to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Thank you for making the Locked On Bears podcast your first listen today. If you're looking for your second listen, check out the Locked On NFL podcast for more league-wide football coverage here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Come back tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Bears. And of course, you have to come back for your next opportunity to bear down.